Well, about an hour ago, if you were listening here on KRDO News Radio, you heard that special report that said that President Trump had arrived at that courthouse in New York City. And we go to the KRDO Newsline right now, where legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum is joining us to give us more details about this hush money trial with the former president at the center in the defendant's chair. First of all, welcome to the show, Thane.
Thanks, Shannon. Always enjoy talking to you.
Yes. So we are entering what can be a very, unexciting period of a trial. But with the former president at trial, I guess every day is somewhat high profile because this is jury selection. Tell us what goes on here.
So there are about 500 people that are have already been thrown into the potential pool. Remember, there are 10 million people who live, or is it a million? I can't remember. It's got to be 1 million, just in Manhattan. So, you know, although it's true that Donald Trump is profoundly unpopular in New York City, he's especially unpopular in Manhattan, where the polling of recent has suggested that 61% of the people in Manhattan already think he's guilty, and 80% of the people voted for Joe Biden. So when Donald Trump says, "I can't get a fair trial in Manhattan," that's what he's talking about. You know, by the way, he there would be other places in New York City he would do better, like Staten Island or Queens. Manhattan, where he's known, where the Trump Tower sits, is a difficult climb for him. On the other hand, remember, you know, it only takes one person for a mistrial. You know, people forget, you know, doesn't you can have someone who voted for Joe Biden, but at the end of a, you know, 1 month trial could sit there and say, look, I find myself unconvinced by the evidence. And I'm not sure that this is a case that even should have been brought. And I'm not convinced that this man is guilty of a crime beyond a reasonable doubt. So, yes, it's going to be, you know, tiresome, but you're right. It's Donald Trump. So it's always going to be interesting. There's a gag order so that he's not permitted to really speak to anything, especially if it affects the jury pool or the intimidation of witnesses. His attempts to have the case moved have been already rejected. He's bringing that to appellate courts again. His attempts to get the judge to recuse himself has also failed, but he made that case again. He made that request again this morning as well. He's already ruled that he's not recusing himself. The jury questionnaire is sort of interesting. You know, have you ever, do you use Truth Social media? Do you use Donald Trump's social media? If you do, the problem you get, you'll be disqualified. Do you belong to any anti-Trump political groups? That's an interesting question because the truth is a lot of people don't belong to specifically anti-Trump groups, but they don't like them. So I'm not sure that that really makes a difference. You know, you don't have to belong to a group to not like them. Do you feel that you can be impartial in this? You know, Donald Trump said the amount of pretrial publicity has been so much, I can't get a fair trial. The judges said, look, you're Donald Trump. Everyone already has an opinion on you. There's nowhere we could go. We can't go to Montana. Can't go anywhere where people have strong views about you. The question is, can a person sit impartially, listen to the evidence, and then, you know, pronounce their verdict.
Now, what are the allegations at the heart of this criminal trial, not a civil trial, which one might assume it would be because it involves business records? This is a criminal trial. What are the charges at the heart of it?
So, yeah, it's a complicated case in some ways that originates of an easy case. The primary charges are the falsification of business records. Donald Trump was paying monthly retainer to his attorney. And it was listed as an attorney for legal fees, but that attorney was being reimbursed for $130,000 payment he made to a porn star who allegedly had an affair with Donald Trump, and the idea was to keep her quiet. By the way, there's nothing illegal about that. You can enter into a non-disclosure agreement with someone you had an affair with and say, here, in return for this money, I don't want you to tell anybody. But the government's position is, well, yeah, but you called it legal fees when it was really a hush money payment. And that itself is a crime, but it's really only a misdemeanor, right, in New York State. Why are they in federal court? Well, And by the way, the misdemeanor has already, it's already expired under the statute of limitations. So why is it still alive, this case? Because the government has been arguing that it's actually a felony, because the payment that you were making really wasn't so much about falsification of business records to your attorney, but it was your attempt to contribute to your political campaign. So it violated the campaign finance laws, because you were essentially writing a check to yourself. Now, that's a, you know, interesting legal theory, but it's a stretch, right? Because they're going to have to prove, when Donald Trump was writing those checks 34 times to reimburse his lawyer, that each time he was attempting to contribute to his campaign, when in fact a lot of people are going to say, no, he wanted to make sure his wife never found out about this, and he didn't want the public to find out about this. And so we don't see this as a contribution to his campaign. We see it as what it says it is, payment to a porn star to keep her mouth shut. So that's what the case is about. Did he violate federal campaign finance laws by paying off a porn star to keep her quiet, which again, on its own, is not illegal, but is it illegal to mischaracterize what it is? Because he didn't characterize it as hush money payments. And were you ultimately trying to contribute to your campaign with those payments?
And we're also going to hear testimony from Karen McDougal, who's the lesser famous Playboy playmate, who will talk about her own circumstances, although it's not directly, they aren't directly implicated in this hush money case. But again, that testimony expected to raise some eyebrows as it comes out as well, as well as Michael Cohen. So this case, we are going to be hearing about it for days to come. And Thane, you'll be right there bringing us details, I assume, in the days and weeks to come.
Happy to, Shannon. Thank you.
Thank you. Thane Rosenbaum, legal analyst, bringing us the latest on the Trump hush money trial.